Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is future priest Ethan Hawkins. I would like to serve forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding the seats for Sabbath services.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is future priest Ian Hawkins, and I would like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's my privilege and honor to present to you the future priest and priestesses now entering the sanctuary. It's now my privilege and honor to present to you our first speaker, future priest Buffalo Bill.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. May the peace of Yah be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. My title today is Cain's Problem. And I want to talk about Cain's problem today because Cain's problem is now the Pope's problem, and it's causing the world problems today. Please turn over to Genesis 4 on page 3. And look at verse 1. Now Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain. She said, I have brought forth a man with the help of Yahweh. And she bore again, and this time his brother Abel was born. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. And on one of Yahweh's Sabbaths, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to Yahweh, and Abel, besides his offering the fruit of the ground, also brought a sacrifice of the firstlings and their fat. And Yahweh honored Abel and his offerings, but he did not honor Cain and his offerings. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Notice in verse 6, Yahweh asked Cain, why are you angry? Why are you downcast? He's asking Cain, what is your problem, Cain? Well, to answer that, look back to verse 2 and notice that Abel was a keeper of sheep. Side note, Cain tells us this really means that Abel was a teacher of righteousness. But notice, Cain was a tiller of the ground. Side note, El tells us this really means that Cain was a servant of the gods. You should be able to start seeing exactly what Cain's problem was. Now let's compare this to Genesis 2:9. And it says, and out of the ground Yahweh made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and desirable for food. And the tree of life was in the midst of the garden. The tree of knowledge and righteousness and evil was there also. Notice that the tree of life was in the midst of the garden. Side note, B tells us this means perfect righteousness. Perfect righteousness is obedience to every one of Yahweh's laws. This is what Abel grew up to become. A teacher of righteousness, perfectly obedient to every one of Yahweh's laws. When Abel was a little boy, he was taught Yahweh's laws. He was obedient to the righteous instruction he was given, was obedient to Yahweh. He became a great teacher, just like all the young people can become if we become obedient like Abel, the first Abel and the last Abel. But notice what else was in the midst of the garden in Genesis 2:9. The tree of the knowledge of righteousness and evil was there also. Side note C tells us this means mixture of righteousness and evil. This is Babylon, which means confusion. A mix, gate of God. Genesis 3:5 tells us that when we mix even the slightest amount of sin in our lives, we become evil like the gods and begin to bring forth sin into our lives. This is the way of life Cain chose to be. This is the way of life Cain chose to be like the gods. This is the way of life that Cain taught when he was old. Cain brought forth the grapes of wrath, which is anger, hatred, continual war, vengeance, and retaliation. Cain's problem was that he chose to disobey, rebel, and reject the teachings of perfect righteousness that were brought forth by Abel. Cain's problem did not just remain his own problem. He taught this way of rebellion, and the majority of the people accepted it because it looked desirable. But even though it looks desirable, don't be deceived. Yahweh said, if we go the way of Cain, dying we will die. At this time, it is clear to see that the whole world is dying. The creed of mixed crew of righteousness and evil is like the Christmas tree the world just celebrated. The great prophet Jeremiah wrote about. They decorate it with glitter and brightly colored lights to catch everyone's attention and make everyone want their disobedient, rebellious way of life. But if they look down at the bottom of this thing, they would see that the tree is cut off from its roots. It's cut off from life. It's dying. Just like everyone else who rejects the great wisdom of Yahweh and chooses to commit sin, even the slightest sin. Now let's fast forward to these last days. Once again, we see Cain and Abel at work. We see the Pope, the modern-day Cain, the leader of Mystery Babylon, teaching all nations that they can break Yahweh's laws and still have life. But instead of life, they have incurable disease epidemics, famines, and disasters. But very soon, you're going to see those lights go out in that tree forever. It's going to topple over and be burnt with the fire of all-out nuclear war. At the same time, we see the last Abel, our pastor, usual Abel Hawkins, leading the house of Yahweh, cutting down the grapes of wrath of disobedience and rebellion, and bringing forth fruits of the Spirit, the laws of Yahweh into each of us, and soon to all the universe. Turn to our last scripture, Galatians 5. It's on page 914, and it says, Galatians 5, look at verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, righteousness, the faith, meekness, gentleness, humility, temperance, self-control. Such things are not against any law. And those who are Messiahs have sacrificed the flesh, the carnal mind, with its passions and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not become full of empty pride and ambition, not challenging nor defying anyone, not being jealous of one another. And with that, if everyone will please stand, I'd like to turn it over to the great future priest, Nabiah, for prayer.
Great Deacon Shlomo Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today I'm going to be talking about proving Yishol Hawkins is trying to stop the wars in this last generation. Alright? Now, if you turn to Genesis 4, verse 14... Yahweh prophesied here to Cain. Verse 14, it says, surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall not be seen by your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth, for there shall be continual war, vengeance, and retaliation. And then in 66 A.C.E., if you turn to Yada 1 and verse 11. It says, woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for reward, and have perished in the rebellion of Korah. Now, what is the way of Cain? Well, we heard the first speaker today was talking about the way of Cain, continual war, vengeance, and retaliation. And you can see this in the news today. If in the November 2014 newsletter, it says, surely we can see the wars. In the newsletter, page 3, it says, these blessings are received by practicing the righteousness of Yahweh. But notice what is said in verse 14, going after any god to serve. That's Deuteronomy 28:14. Remember, evil like the gods, Genesis 3:5. It says, you will be as gods, knowing evil. Following, practicing, or knowing evil brings curses. The curses we see in abundance in this present generation. If you turn to Isaiah 2, Isaiah 2 and verse 4, it says, he will judge among the nations and will rebuke many people. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, neither will they learn war anymore. All right, so you know that they will not learn war anymore. They're going to beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. They're going to turn from war, and that's when Yahweh's kingdom will be established. Now let's see how Overseer Yishael Hawkins is trying to stop the wars. Let's look in the books that he's published here. In the Preparedness Handbook, if you remember that book, page 7, it says, the Heavenly Father, Yahweh, creator of the universe, inspired the prophets of old to write about the horrors that are soon to come upon the whole world because of man's governments who reject Yahweh's laws of peace. Just as many other prophecies have already come to pass, one can continue to depend on the words of the prophets and be assured that the warfare prophesied to engulf this entire world and bring an end to man's governments will also come to pass. It has always been the duty of the house of Yahweh to alert Yahweh's people of the tactics of the adversary and to prepare and guide them away from following her way and the curses it brings and towards the blessings of Yahweh's protection. Because Yahweh offers us this protection only if we go his way. Now what about in the peaceful solution? If you remember this article, this is the Stop All Wars. Step 1, slow down and assess what's going on. No one is safe because of the hatred for one's nationality, religion, or pure jealousy. War takes place in our homes, on the streets, and in every country. Step 2, admit we need a change, and we have to be quick about it. You can see there's no peace in our communities and all around the world. And realize that what we're doing now is not working. Step 3, lay a foundation for every child in the world by making available the best character education program ever. This program works in every town, city, state, and country. It starts with you and spreads around the world. And with this program, it's possible to gain trust back, and everyone completing this course with anticipation of using these valuable lessons in their life will gain trust back, and it is possible to stop all wars. By using this program, you can stop all wars. Now, in his sermons, in the fifth book of Israel, it's chapter 10, page 75. This sermon was given on 4/27/05. It says, as you can see, the reason I wanted Kanya Didia to bring these articles was so that you could see the plan of Yahweh is proceeding. All of this is necessary. The wars, fighting, sickness, and diseases that are taking place right now. These are necessary to be done in order to prove his kingdom of priests. That's what he's saying is actually true, and the way to prevent these things is actually true. This is to prove so you will never forget. So you'll never forget it. Never go back the other way and never allow any inch of sin into Yahweh's kingdom at all, whatsoever. Because we're going to see the curses that sin brings. Page 108, chapter 21, this sermon was given on 9/17/2005. It says, verse 53, it says, "This is Yahweh's plan, to stop the killing, wars, sickness, disease, and hatred. Everything we see on earth here today, this is in Yahweh's plan to do it with a priesthood, which you are part of now." So he's doing it with this priesthood. We're going to stop the wars. If you turn to Matthew 24, it's on page 752. Verse 7, it says, "For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and pestilences, disease epidemics, and earthquakes in place after place." Verse 12, it says, "And because iniquity will abound, the breaking of Yahweh's law will abound, the love of the many will grow cold." All right, and it's not just the bombings, but it's the arguing and the fighting. And as you can see in this picture here, you can see the devastation of war, the building tore down, and this young boy is trying to look through his stuff to see what's still left there. Then you can see the nuclear bomb there. All right, that's the devastation. That's the curses sin brings if you go that way. So it's not just the bombings, but it's the arguing and the fighting between ourselves. And that's what Pastor is trying to stop in our lives. And he will do it, as you can see in Isaiah 2, verse 4. And if you all please stand. It's my privilege and honor to turn it over to the great Kahan Ilya Hyler Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. Going into the news, of course, Pope Francis is trying to bring peace once again, a fruitless effort he's putting forth. Of course, he's calling on what they call the Day of Peace, which was January the 1st. The Pope was asking for prayer to put an end to war and epidemics. And then, of course, he follows that up with saying global climate or global warming, there's something that we're going to have to do, and the Catholic Church is going to mandate some regulations. Now, keep close attention to what he's saying and what he's doing. Of course, he's saying that it's man-made, but he's not saying sin. He's saying that it's greenhouse gases and these economies that are seeking to get rich through greed. What he's doing is he's laying the format to shut down major economies such as China and Russia. So pay close attention to what he's saying and how he's saying it, because we know how this global warming is taking place. It's due to sin, and the only way to stop it is to prevent sin, to put an end to sin. And then we also have the article from Press TV showing that uranium takes billions of years to remove. In fact, they just say forever. It's in the soil forever. But look at what it does. And once again, look at how it got there. Listen to how the uranium got into the soil. It was man-made, but it wasn't through driving a car across the soil in Iraq. That's not how it took place. And also nuclear arms. We've got something on nuclear arms showing once again the devastation that could very easily take place. And pay close attention to that also, because they talk about the technology in 1960s and all the mishaps we had during the Cold War, and how there was a socket dropped on one missile, and of course that ruptured a fuel cell and it exploded, but the nuclear warhead did not detonate. But it also had one that was accidentally dropped on North Carolina that didn't detonate. And then they talk about how we've got such greater technology, and then they take you to the bunker from which they launched them, and it's 1960s technology. So pay close attention to what they're saying and realize how close we could be to nuclear war, even if it was accidental. If we could go ahead and play the news. If everyone will please stand. At this time, I'd like to introduce the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. Oh, we got a crowd here today. Yes. Let's go now. Praise Yahweh.
You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Now, as you saw on the news there's some great things taking place. And this global warming is, I'm convinced that this is going to be the warm-up to the real global warming, and that's the nuclear wars. But be watching the news for everything like that, because it is going to take place. This is going to be the lead-in to the nuclear wars. And the Pope has been asked to help in this situation, and of course you can see how he's helped so far in this situation. Watch yourselves in the stores if you have to go to a store. I haven't been to one for over 2 years now, and I hope I never have to go back. Praise Yahweh. 19 children die as flu season takes toll. I believe it's more than that, something like 40-something now. But this is dangerous. It's 45 people since flu season began. It'd be a great thing if you doused yourself with some thieves or something. I don't know if you can see that or not. The world's hope is all gone. They're turning from God to the Pope now. Oh boy, can you read that? There is no God. These are billboards now that's being scattered throughout the South, they said. I expect that to probably catch on pretty much. They're fighting back and forth between the showing their hatred from one religion to another. We're getting some attention, big time attention. Times Square again. I was surprised how this number keeps climbing. The total right now on this article, Israel Hawkins says prophecy is coming to pass in this time period and explains what to expect next. That's up to 72,160,406. Big names, big news agencies seeking these articles. Well, we're talking about turning this global warming over to the Pope. And this is what I've been seeking for, because I was trying to figure out how this would, it's going to affect the church. The church would have to be in command, which this is what they're doing. But the global warming, of course, they're going to bring forth greenhouse gases, and they're going to pass up what the scripture says is causing this global warming. What has got the minds confused? Y'all listen now. What has got the minds confused right now to where they can't make a sensible decision? But this article here just came out, High-Flying Creatures of the Atmosphere. Now, there's gobs of articles on this right now, but it's they're all saying about the same thing. But there's some studies being made now concerning the atmosphere, the firmament, and what we brought out in the book or magazine called The Real Cause of Global Warming. The scientists are now, they're coming to this. They're getting studies in this field of our ecology. It says, ever since Boston University biologist Thomas Kuhn's founded aerocology in 2008. Did you get that date? He founded this in 2008. It has seen huge gains because of the growing ability to track air movement with radar and technology. 2008, they show some geese flying through the air, and underneath it here they show the beads that, let me read you this, floating and flying above us are not only the usual suspects, birds, bats, insects, but countless microscopic creatures as well. Now this was music to my ears when I read this. The discipline in aerobiology, aerology explore how animals, plants, and other organisms live in, move through, and interact with the aerospace and part of Earth's atmosphere. Speaking of the firmament, what the scripture calls a firmament that supports life. I see they're coming to understand that what's going on now in the firmament actually supports man's life. And without these microorganisms, as I brought out in the magazine, The Real Cause of Global Warming, this life support, it actually adjusts the sun rays to your body. If you got too much sun, it would wipe out everything on Earth. If you don't get enough sunshine, you die. of course, with this new study now and created in, what did I say? What was the date I said? Okay. Everybody remember that date. I'm coming up to it here in just a minute. Scientists recently documented how migrating bar-headed geese could fly over the Himalayas at an altitude of up to 24,000 feet above sea level. The birds accomplished the feat by timing their trips to coincide with the presence of cooler air in which it's easier to fly and breathe. They show a butterfly getting caught in a net here of water beads. It says, air as an environment can lead to surprising interactions between living and, they call it non-living. This is nothing in the universe that's non-living. it changes, you know. This post right here could be changed just by itself. Just out in the weather, it would change and go right back to the dust of the ground which it came from. You'd think that's dead, but it's not. It's living creatures, made up of living creatures that suck so tight to one another. But as the biologists say, if you could reduce yourself to the size of a microorganism, they'd be hitting you in the face and you'd know they were there and alive and jumping and moving. And of course, they can prove this now with the technology that they have and microscopes. But between living and non-living things, when positively charged, insects fly close to a spider web, for example, electromagnetic charges cause the web to move toward them to attractively capture the creatures and, of course, use them for food. One of them, the fungi, don't It doesn't leave themselves to the whims of the wind. Fungi don't leave themselves to the whims of the wind when disseminating the spores they use to reproduce. Mushrooms create their own breeze by releasing moisture with the spores. The water cools the air, creating a tiny convection current. Something that our boys have been working with now for the last few years is martins. And, of course, they migrate back and forth. They'll normally be here about February. You can watch for them about the middle of February if you got a martin box. Where did they come from? Where have they been? How come they stayed gone so long? Well, of course, the average North American purple martin eats about 20,000 insects each year, with the whole species devouring about 412 billion bugs per year. It shows a lot more here. But what was that date I gave you on when this was formed? They started to study. What time? What? What? I didn't hear anything over here. Did y'all hear? Sometimes this bunch over here, you know, they miss it. Now, here's a prophetic word that we put out. And this is a real cause. Praise Yahweh. This is the story, the real cause of global warming. And I know you remember this magazine. I said, when I saw that date, I said, I started talking about this back, I think it was a couple or 3 years before this magazine was actually put out. And when I finally got it written. But what was that date again? This magazine, I want to show you when it was printed, The Real Cause of Global Warming. See that? And you go right down here to the bottom, and you see that? This magazine right here is the reason they called the pen mightier than the sword. It got a study started that didn't begin until when? Actually, I think it began when they saw that article in that magazine, and they started, you know, they started saying, "Hey, there's some knowledge right here that we need to find out about. We could make a lot of money off of this." Well, now the same scientists have turned to the Pope Francis and world religions to save the planet. You know, the same ones that's got the planet in this condition now is, of course, the Pope, the Roman Catholic Church. A group of scientists are pinning their hopes for the salvation of the planet in the face of climate change and habitat destruction on religion. This, they might be altogether truthful, but they never have been, that I know of. They've deceived the people since the days of Cain, and they're all going in the ways of Cain. An appeal from scientists, leaders, to religious leaders and environmental protection. In this same time period, starting quite a few years ago, the location and concentration camps in America. If you could tie that in with what I want to show you here, because there's a lot more than than meets the eye, and you probably won't hear it, but there's this environmental protection of the environment that the Pope will come up with. It's supposed to start next month. We're supposed to hear some of the information, start getting some of the information. But if you wanted to change the state of Texas and move the people out, and you could convince everyone that, great earthquakes and burning fire, maybe you got suspicion or got proof from the intelligence that they were going to bomb Texas with nuclear bombs, you could probably get some people to leaving. Well, Pope Francis, radical environmentalism. He says the individual and the created world are considered at odds, a product of the explosion of Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden, and Yahweh, and he says in God's declaration of Genesis 3:16, cursed is the ground because of you, Adam. Because of Adam, cursed is the ground. And that same curse now, they're still following the same thing that Adam and Eve did, which practiced sin, as is shown in this same chapter, but they don't mention that. It just mentioned Adam and some of his and his activities. That's what started this curse, is what they're saying. The same curse is that Adam did that started the curse, of course, and of course the first priest, which was Cain. That was the second tree in the garden. And Yahweh plainly says there, that's the evil of the gods. They worship gods. Now they're saying there is no God, so they can't make up their mind totally. But the Pope is following several gods and lords. And that's the reason the name Yahweh and Yahshua were taken out of the inspired scriptures and replaced with God and Lord. That's what they're worshiping. The evil gods, as is plainly showed in Genesis 3, verse 5. Do this and you'll be like the evil gods. That's exactly what that verse said. Well, that's exactly what they're doing today. And they're admitting now, they're admitting that mankind, Adam, in bringing forth sin, he and Eve, bringing forth sin, caused this curse to start. So that's an admission, and I'm going to use it in some letters to try to get the man to thinking. But Genesis 3:16, cursed is the land because of you, Adam, not because of us. Ground because of Adam, through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life. The act of original sin. The act of original sin, in other words, set up an inherently combative relationship between man and nature, and conflict is part of God's plan, as G. Eli Dunn, a professor of religion and Simon Fraser, University of Canada, put it in a Huffington Post article on the evangelical mindset to somehow think we can correct climate instability is seen as a denial of God's judgment against human disobedience. Let's see, 1993 is something. Check that out. Pope Francis comments in his inaugural mass to let us be protectors and creation protectors of creation, protectors of God's plan inscribed in nature, protectors of one another and the environment. Now, this is great words if they would back them up, but that's not what they're up to. They're up to depopulating the earth of about 5 billion people, as was spoken of earlier. We can't wait. Now they're building up right now the urgency of making some really great changes that will come forth from the Vatican, of course. They're building up to this. This article, there's a bunch of articles now coming out on this very same thing. This lady, news agency, writes, we can't wait. Combating the effects of climate change. And they go into a few details here about greenhouse gases. They can't get by that, even though the Pope says now it's sin. This has started it. Well, what's sin? Sin is a transgression of Yahweh's laws. Now, what did they do, Pope? What? Please get your mind on that where you can answer that question. Scientists call upon Pope Francis to take the lead. Take the lead. Did you get that? Lead. The scientists are asking him. And, of course, the world is, it says Pope Francis is believed to be putting the final touches on his encyclica about the environment. Include relations, forced birth control. These are just some of the things now. Forced birth control, including sterilization and abortion, inconsistent with natural law. He's gone now from sin to making up some things on their own, so he takes you slowly from one to the other, trying to dodge the word sin from now on. Key UN climate summit. Oh, by the way, they're totally against the commandments of Yahweh. You know that. What day do they keep? One in honor of the sun god Baal. So that's just one. They break all the others too. In fact, the Pope, he encourages young people to fornicate, elderly people to commit adultery. Yes, he encourages all of this. He will not condemn sodomy, which is one of the worst sins of bringing forth this sickness and disease that's going into the heaven. Big time. And if it wasn't for a few, Yeremia said, that Yahweh actually kept separate from that, the whole world would be sodomized. That's in Yeremia 23:15. Pope to make moral case for action on climate change, plans to release a groundbreaking appeal to combat climate change in a major document called an encyclica, key UN climate summit in December in Paris. The encyclica may be published as early as March. So we have about a month and a half. We're in, what month are we in? January. January. We're in January. And maybe coached in terms of a biblical parable of the Good Samaritan, which he teaches that we have responsibilities to our fellow humans. So that's going to be used against the people, saying, we're not going to bless you with eternal life unless you join in and do this. You're using the Bible to get his thoughts over. Not that they should change and repent of sodomy and fornication, adultery, bestiality, which are the very acts that are, now they've found the bacteria, They found the bacteria in the firmament. They know that this bacteria is living. It actually eats now. They've found that out since 2008. They found out that this bacteria floating in the heavens, floating all around the world, they know that now, it's global, and live in the heavens, and they make it rain. They're the ones that formed the raindrops. They've found that out. See, all kinds of things are being found out now. The only thing, they're going to avoid sin. I guarantee you he's going to use this as a sin itself. He'll say, well, this is sin unless you give up your vehicles here or there or stop manufacturing this in China. It's all coming from China, you know. So if we stop China from manufacturing and China says, no, we're not going to stop manufacturing. Taiwan says the same thing. Russia says the same thing. No, we're not going to stop our oil from being produced. If we could stop oil from being produced in these countries over here, you know, that would solve our problem. You know, China, Russia, and so forth. You could twist this around in many ways. If these are just ideas that I'm looking for that he's going to come up with. But that will be released. Scientists and religious figures who campaign urgent action hope that by focusing on moral rather than scientific or economic grounds, the Pope can help persuade climate skeptics by appealing to their conscience. He's going to try to get some laws passed, and then to govern those laws, he wants the what they call the Holy Roman Empire resurrected. I told you about that. I read the article quite a while back before that. Now, these are the plans that's been coming up to this thing right here where they're going to present all the evidence that if you don't do this quickly, this is what's going to take place to the earth. Science has taken this issue as far as it can, and now it's the domain of policymakers. Now, here's your law coming in. Remember, Daniel said he was amazed at the amount of laws that this beastly system passed. Well, here you're going to see some more laws, but you've got a world government now to make sure that this is going to take place with all nations. Well, the other nations that we're expecting, that Malachi Martin himself said, these nations, Russia, China, everyone that won't worship Mary is going to make war. She's first going to make laws and policies. Then she's got an excuse then for these nations breaking these laws and policies that they're already showing here in before he ever brings them out. But they're getting the people geared up to accept this. And they're getting the hatred built up, ready for the people to come against these nations who won't worship Mother Mary. He even made the remark and said, you talk about my mother and I'm going to punch you. Well, he wasn't joking. He's coming after the house of Yahweh. That's his gesture right there. If you'll remember these things and start watching for them now, you're going to see these things start taking place. When he passes the laws and the policies that he's talking about here, this is what they're going to do where they can have a handhold on these nations. Well, the nations are not going to want this handhold. They don't want their hand around their throat. And this is what they're leading up to here, to resurrect the Roman Empire, which will take full control of these nations under set laws, under these policies that will protect the earth, as they claim. This will stop the earth from deteriorating. This will save the earth. This will save nature. Once again, the food will be clean. They're going to make all kinds of promises. He just brought in the fact that he raises a garden, that is, the Vatican does. And of course, he also admitted they use commercial fertilizer to raise this garden, but they raise a lot of food for those who want, they still call it organic food. But of course it's not. And now it's the domain of policymakers, lawmakers, which if you remember the way the Pope swings these laws, he says, I've got 2 million people. I've got 2 million people right here in Washington that's saying they want this law passed. And they visit their offices and they say, this law has got to be passed, and we're going to be watching to see whether you vote for it. Well, that would strike fear in any senator or congressman, and they're going to put their name on that law. Now, this is how they do it. I read you that not too long ago. So it's policymakers to bring about action. Bring about this action, that is, this have to be quickly action. And then those that say, no, you're not going to take our oil away from us. No, you're not going to take our wealth away from us. We have a right to this land here. We have a right to do what we're doing. This is what Russia said. And Russia said, a bear does not ask for permission. So that pretty well puts him on the spot. And then he says, don't mess with our religion. China said the same thing. No, I don't want you messing with our religion. We're going to keep our religion as it is. So this means when you hear words like that, you can know for sure that pressure is being put on them from a source that's not being advertised on the news. But it's there, or Russia would not have said, keep your hands off of our religion. So the pressure is there already. And now it's going to become even stronger with the fear of global warming. Policymakers bring about action which requires changes, he says, in behavior. And with that bit of propaganda, you could say, no, we were just talking about the sin like Adam did. Well, what did Adam do? Well, he ate that apple off of that tree, a forbidden apple, with the pork that was holding it in its mouth. No, they won't say that. We're following the priest that eats pork, the world is. They're following the priest that eats pork. That pretty well identifies them. You know, the Arabs don't eat pork. Isn't that strange? And they're going after the Arabs because they won't eat pork. History shows the Crusades, they would give them a choice. Now, you can live if you will eat pork. If you don't, we'll feed you to the pork. We turn our victims into swine, and then we'll eat the swine. Remember all of this, because you're going to see it, and it's urgent. It's urgent. It's going to be pushed forward quickly. Changes in behavior. As a scientist, I have no authority. Now he knows that the Pope has authority, these scientists, which tells me they're Catholics. He knows that the Pope of any generation, he has final say. That's what they put out in their book. Malachi Martin says he's lying. He says that the Pope has very little authority to change anything. He said the Satan worshipers outnumber the popes. Well, of course, now the Pope is admitting, yes, one of the gods is Satan herself, and they worship all gods. As a scientist, I have no authority to demand the changes, to demand. So he uses the word demand, knowing that the Pope now will take the orders from the Vatican and demand instantly that Russia do this, that China do that, that the Arab nations perform this to bring about a war to depopulate the earth, knowing full well that these people are not, these nations are not going to give in. But religious leaders do. A papal encyclica may shock millions of evangelicals into reality. So it's going to be strong and tough. Okay, another one. Scientists admit defeat and ask Pope Francis to help combat, go to war, global warming. The scientists believe that religion's a unique combination of moral leadership and global organization. All of this is hogwash. Structures would be key to having an instant, notice instant, that's not hogwash, they want it in there, instantly. Instant effect on global warming, such as providing cleaner forms of fuel for the poor people. Yeah, that's what it's after. Get some cheap, cleaner fuel for the poor people. No, it has nothing to do with, but it, this puts about the thought in your mind, see, that the Pope is really concerned about the poor people and he wants to take care of them. The scientists plead to Pope Francis, so they're making out like now that these scientists, who are all Catholics, or they wouldn't have went to him to begin with, but the scientists, see, are saying, yes, this is true, we got to do it. And we got to do it quickly. We got to instantly in order to save the earth. And other global faith leaders to address climate change couldn't have come at a better time. Pope Francis is currently finalizing. See, all of this just happened. It's so strange that it all happened together. Well, the Pope is working on that. It's so strange you would come and ask him to make it public. Yeah, quite a coincidence. Pope Francis is currently finalizing a much anticipated papal encyclica on the environment, and the Catholic Church is expected to lead. The Catholic Church is expected to lead the charge. Like leading an army, lead to climate, to limit global warming. If you turn over to Revelations, with that word lead now in mind, Revelation 17, Revelation 17, he's going to lead the charge. And, of course, he's going to do it with a resurrected Roman Empire. He's gathering. Every time you see someone invited to the White House, it's not a pleasure shake hand thing. Come and get a bone of the disciple, and then we'll tell you what to do. It's because they don't want to put it on the phone because they're afraid that it'll be recorded and let out to the people. So they come to secret chambers to where nothing can be heard, and they give orders, plans, to be carried out by that person. And if a person wants to refuse, they'll find a way of getting rid of him. If he says no, just like they do at the White House in Washington, when they go to visit a senator or a congressman, somebody that's wanting to run for president, they go and tell him what they want done. And of course, if he doesn't want to fall in line and follow their instructions, he'll never make it. They'll make sure he's cut out. And they got the power to do so. Secret, tell them by lip who to vote for. And there came one of the seven, here's 17, Revelation 17. Now this chapter, if you'll notice in this chapter, it fully describes the leader of the kings of the earth. And they have asked him to lead this charge. So you should put it together with the scripture, the prophecy, that tells you where this charge is coming from. Who's leading it? It's not Yahweh. He's turned it over to man. He said, I will not interfere with any more of this. I'll let man go his own way here, and I'll show you how the end will be. Now, this will be the final test of what sin brings. There's no telling how much trouble sin, how many planets have been destroyed in the universe because of the beings there practicing sin. And it's become such a Leviathan. It's become such a Leviathan in the universe that the only way to stop this is to prove you do this and you volunteer to stop this, or dying you will die and you will never be a part of the universe anymore. Follow my laws and this will stop, he says. Well, of course, like the heavenly beings who's anticipating being shown the family of Yahweh, they're anticipating that right now. They're watching this whole show played out. And Yahweh says, I set this before the whole universe. This is Deuteronomy 30. But before heaven and earth to witness this, he said. And this is the way that he's going to prove. He's hands off, but he's going to prove how sin will build as it's done in this 6,000 year period. And now in this last generation, it's at its peak. And they all know this. And the people, the scientists know this too. Yes, and they're telling it now. And the doctors and the sickness and disease, they said, would come with this. And they're incurable. They can't do anything about them. As they said with cancer, you know, for 40 years, a 40-year fight and funding of billions of dollars, and you haven't done anything. You cut, you poison, and you burn, he says. And you're still doing it, knowing full well that you're killing the person. He was pretty rough on it. We showed that film, by the way. I hope you remember. I hope all of you remember that. And there came one of the seven Malachim who had the seven bowls. And this, you know, you got seven lights here. They're bowls of light. They represent the seven works of Yahweh. We're the last work on that seven lampstand that had the bowls on top that contained the oil from the tree of life. Yes. Come and I will show you the sentence of the great whore. This is how she turns out. The great whore. Notice it's a woman here it's speaking of. Great whore that sets. That word sets there. It means judges. You look it up. I brought that out in several sermons to prove to you that this means judging. He has authority. When you step into a courtroom and there's a judge sitting on the bench, he has authority to run that courtroom. And he uses that authority. And if you disobey that authority, what does he do? An officer comes and gets you and hauls you out. And they'll lock you up until you decide to answer their questions or whatever. They have full authority. That's what this word means. Sets on many waters. Well, in verse 15, if you look, that many waters, verse 15, and the waters which you saw where the whore sets are peoples, multitudes, nations, and languages. That's the waters that she judges. She has been given authority. The Roman Catholic Church has given authority over the nations right now. There's some holiness coming from certain religions out there, some holiness. But they won't worship Mary. They know that that would be the end of their life if they did. They won't follow the West, knowing that the West has lowered the standards and and they don't follow the laws of Yahweh. And these people do follow some laws. They're not the house of Yahweh. And I told you before, if you're not the house of Yahweh, you have no protection. The only protection there is under Yahweh himself. And he says where the protection is. Well, notice it sets the great whore, so that's a woman, that sets over upon many waters, that's peoples, nations, multitudes, and tongues, with whom, verse 2, with whom the kings of the earth have joined in their sins. You see that word fornication? This is God worship. This is sin. The Pope admits this is sin that's bringing global warming, that's got the land defiled, they don't know what they're going to do now. You know, they got themselves in a real big mess with this land, and they don't know what to do to bring it back. They say there's no returning it, and now they're mixing it with some uranium, uranium or something. That said, the scientific test said that this could stay in the land for billions of years. They've totally ruined the land by using this depleted uranium, by using this, and it's so slowly drifting all over the earth, just like the bacteria. What's it going to do? What's this? How's this going to affect the microorganisms? They know it's pretty bad. They know this. And they know the microorganisms are infected more and more. They don't know how they're going to clean themselves up. Nothing man can do to clean them up. So you see the urgent situation that we're in. They think by depleting the earth by 5 billion people will solve the problem and they'll start over. But see, this war is going to take it into even a worse mess, as we see in Isaiah 24, the nuclear wars. Well, the kings of the earth have committed fornication, this practice of their religion, practice of idolatry, God worship, the evil of God worship, that the Pope just got through saying that's what it was. They worship this evil God. Surely you can read down a few, down to verse 5, Pope Francis, and see that this is evil gods that you're following. And the inhabitants of the earth, that's the multitudes, nations, and tongues, and languages, inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk, that is confusion. They're like groping in the dark for an answer, and their answer doesn't make any sense. It's going to be even worse after the nuclear wars than it is right now. They're saying now they're admitting they've failed in so many ways. They've actually brought more harm than benefit. They've been confused with this teaching. The word wine means teaching. Don't hurt the oil and the wine. Don't try to change our religion. Don't try to take away our oil supply. What could be plainer than that with this struggle that they're having right now in her fornication? Verse 3. So he carried me in the spirit into the God worshipers. He carried me away in the spirit into the God worshipers, worshipers of Elohim. And I saw a woman sitting on the scarlet. This is the great whore that you see in verse 1. Come and I'll show you the sentence of the great whore. This great whore. That is the woman you see in verse 3. Great whores. So he carried me away in the spirit into the midst of God worshipers, worshipers of Elohim, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet-colored beast. Well, this beast is shown in Daniel now. Remember, there was four of them, four of these beasts. And the last one that came up was the great Roman Empire, Alexander. I know surely you know everything about Alexander. He came to his end about 33 years old, very young when he died. But he ruled the world before he died for a few minutes. His family that would have inherited his power, his authority, wasn't very many left of them, but what was left of them got murdered within the first 15 years that they were trying to take his place of authority after he died. So their inheritance meant nothing. So four strong generals, who we call the quartet today, that's where it's developed today. Four strong generals split up this. And of course they took over the earth. But they fought against one another. There was nothing there. It's like mixing iron and clay. There's nothing there to hold them together. They can't agree. So the strongest is still trying by force. The strongest is still trying by force to bring back Alexander's style of war and fighting that took him to a certain point. The four generals couldn't even get along. And they were ones that was under Alexander. Alexander did have a fairness about him to the people that were loyal to him. But this was just beneficial to his goal of actually ruling the world. But he had some benefits in that he was fair and honest with them in keeping his word and so forth. They could depend on his word. Now that should tell you something about keeping loyalty. And that's the big point that Yahweh wants to show to each of you, that you can depend on His Word. And His Word is inspired, and we're looking at it here. How do we know that? How do we know this was inspired and come from heaven? How do we know that Yeshua came from heaven? Well, the Christians know. They saw Him coming down. Boy, the crazy idiot stuff you get from unbelievers of the Scriptures. Well, of course, this was the Spirit. The Spirit given to you in John 6:63. The laws. Yeshua kept the laws from heaven. The laws came from heaven, and Yeshua kept them and upheld them. And was willing to die, really, actually willing, because he believed it so much that he was willing to give his life to pay for your sins. And of course, that's the reason you're here today. This, every one of you came from heaven. Yes. And by that same Spirit that you see, that you read here in His laws, the Spirit of unity that you see here, all of us can agree that fornication is wrong. All of us can agree that these sins are causing they're attacking. They've built STDs that are attacking the soil, the microorganisms in the soil, the atmosphere, the microorganisms in the atmosphere. Science is just now finding out that these microorganisms are actually running the show. This is what I told them to look for a year or two before they ever started their work. Well, I saw this woman sitting on this scarlet-colored beast. That was the Roman Holy Roman Empire. It didn't fade. It just divided. It's not gone. It's still the same laws. I wore a badge when I was on the police department that is an exact duplicate of the Roman shield. If you go to any courthouse, you'll probably see a picture of the Pope or a sepulcher, an image of the Pope. Some of them have them in the banks. They do there in Abilene. It shows their authority, who we're following. Well, this woman, of course, the woman that's doing this judging and sending out is Santa Claus to tell the people and play a show and make out like he's leading the world, but he's carrying orders. He's a man that takes orders from the Vatican and takes them to the nations and said, this is what you're going to do. This woman sitting on this scarlet-colored beast, that is the authority of this beast, that's her foundation. Sitting on the scarlet-colored beast. The beast is the one that's given her authority, as we'll see on down. Satan the devil. Beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. Remember that, 7 heads and 10 horns, because it shows you later in the same chapter what those are. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations. Notice she's wearing the clothing of righteousness. By the way, the shawl, the straight colored four colors that we had before, it was shown to us again yesterday. Yes. Did you get a picture? You did? Okay. Yes, yesterday evening. It wasn't a rainbow. It was that four-color sash that we wore the last feast. Okay, a handful of abominations, a golden cup in her hand, a golden cup that had abominations in it, and the filth of the earth. This shows you what this woman that's judging the world right now is putting out, if you'll just read it. The abominations is shown to you in Leviticus 18. Abominations. The filth of the earth is what's coming forth from their sins and iniquity. Iniquity is doing away with Yahweh's law. Sin is breaking Yahweh's laws. Abominations and filthiness of the earth. From her fornication, from her God worship. It's all said right there in that verse, pointing out what is coming forth from this woman that's ruling, that they know that rules. The scientists know she's ruling the earth right now. And she's making some changes, getting ready to make some changes. And upon her head was a name written, Mystery Babylon. This Babylon confusion, where was that started? You remember? Babylon, where was it started? Genesis 10. Nimrod, can't you remember? He rebelled. Nimrod. Mystery, but this is the mystery Babylon. Mystery? How did Rome get started? What does history say? Oh, there's a couple of twins came down from heaven. Their mother kicked them out ahead of them. Mythology. they were raised by a she-wolf. This is some of their lies now, like Santa Claus. It's a mystery how it ever became about. We're not supposed to ever find out that they're the ones that ran the temple in Jerusalem and destroyed the temple and moved to Rome. We're not supposed to ever find that out. You know, lawsuits now is coming towards the Catholic Church. They're wanting all that wealth brought back to Israel now. The mother of harlots That's Christianity. That's the preachers that follow the church, the Catholic Church. That's keeping Sunday. Their only authority for keeping Sunday is the Vatican, the Roman Catholic Church. That's the only authority there was. And he says, you will worship on this day, and you will worship this God. Constantine, back in the days of Constantine. And the abominations of the earth. The abominations, that's shown specifically by the prophets. Leviticus, the 18th chapter, and other places. Exodus 20, you have 10 commandments there even, that they are openly breaking, all of them. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood, meaning they killed the saints. I was working on a scripture. In Revelation 18, if you'll look over there to verse 24, this had bothered me several times before, but the way it's written, they just left out a little of it. But it says, in the city that sits on the beast, verse 18, 17 verse 18, and the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over, has power, has authority over the kings of the earth. What the scientists are saying now, she has authority. Well, if you read that closely, it says in verse 24, 18 verse 24, this woman is going to be destroyed, as you see, with nuclear burning in the first parts, and her sins have reached into the heavens. Her sins. What part of a sin could reach into heaven? Well, STDs, AIDS, herpes, all this kind of stuff. Same thing that can reach into your body. And they've reached into the bodies of the people. And the bodies of the people are suffering right now because these sins have reached into their bodies. By STDs, they've also reached into the heavens, which science now started discovering. And what was that date? Praise Yahweh. I don't want you to forget that now, because we told them that what you need to do is get this magazine, go back to the and read The Real Cause of Global Warming. This will mean more to you now. Well, go back to 24 now, 1824, knowing that this woman here is going to be destroyed by the what she actually created, including Adam and Eve and Cain, their first preacher, going to be destroyed. And then on over to verse 24, he says, and in her, that is this city, chapter 17, verse 18, in this city, the woman you saw is that great city, the Vatican. It reigns over the kings of the earth. The Pope is their Santa Claus that is supposed to go out and look heavenly. Just came from heaven, being pulled in a sleigh by some reindeer. He had just talked to the two twins that had fell from heaven, that their mother kicked out of heaven. They're two gods now in heaven. No, there are no gods. See, the billboards. You know, we have a little bit of confusion here in these teachings. Well, chapter 18, verse 24 of Revelations, and in her, this great city, was found the blood of the prophets and saints. Now, we know that because the Crusades, they brought them to Rome, and they would kill them if they didn't. They would select these people. And like the king who had Daniel and his comrades with him, he said, bring me the best of the best. So if Normally, the king would tell them, I want to enlist you in my army, in my scientific work, whatever it is that I got for you, ice cream makers, cake makers, whatever. The same thing that Samuel told the elders that they would have. Well, they got it. Well, Daniel and his crew said, no, we don't want it. Remember what Yahweh put them through? You know why? To show that he would protect you. Now, this is going to mean a great deal to you in this time period, this generation, and maybe in the very near future, especially when it looks really bad and you say, well, maybe the Pope can save us. No, the Pope is going to make things really bad. But they found the blood here, notice, in her, in this city of saints, of the prophets and the saints. But the next part doesn't fit in. If you notice, it says, and of all who were slain upon the earth. Well, they left out part of the sentence is what they did, left out some words. Those who were slain, the blood now, and the verdict was found that the blood of these prophets and saints and all who were slain by those who go the way of Cain, remember he mentioned Adam, was upon her. The judgment, this is the sentence of the great whore, and the judgment of all of these people, including the verdict of the prophets and the saints, whose blood was actually found in that city, you see. But also in that same verdict, this same sin that the Pope mentioned at the beginning, remember I brought that out, the sin of Adam. Well, all of these sins now have added up over the years, and they have come to this great city, and this great city is the meeting place where Satan is actually going to receive rest. After that, she's going to be taken to a shelter where she'll be protected for 1,000 years, and then she'll have 100 years to reign after that, and that's her death. Okay, where were the mystery Babylon the Great, abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints. This is verse 6 now, chapter 17, verse 6. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Yeshua, that was his disciples and their followers. After Yeshua sat at the right hand of Yahweh, and he told his disciples, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, and they are going to kill you, he said. Could you stand up under that pressure and say, well, what else? Is there another alternative? No way. You know, you're dead unless Yahweh protects you. And there'll be 2 billion people now, about 2 billion people that Yahweh is going to protect that are going to turn to him thanks to you and your work that you're doing right now. If it wasn't for you, this message would not be going out to the world. Yahweh has actually selected a group of poor people. You don't see many rich people here, right? Taking poor people, as he said he would, and he said, even Yeshua spoke of this. Has not Yahweh honored the poor? Well, that in this last days, he's taken this group of poor people, not all of them here are sitting here at this time, but throughout the world that's helping in many ways. Yes, we're receiving much help in many ways. And this, the Skype program that is reaching the world right now live, we're having people right now beg for that to be taught. I won't announce it where, but they're wanting it. They're wanting it everywhere. And it's growing weekly, just like Yahweh said it would. It started off as a tiny seed, and it's now developed into a mighty earth-reaching people going globally to this whole earth due to this handful of poor people. Wonderful. That right there, brother, that's rich people do things like this, rich organization, not poor people like us. That's a marvelous prophecy being fulfilled. Well, verse 6, I saw the woman drunk with the blood, that is confused with this curse of the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Yahshua. That was the ones the crusaders went after, trying to, even if you had just a menorah in your house. Now, if you would eat pork and give them the menorah and eat pork in public where everyone could see you and make the vow that you'd worship Asus and Krishna, that was the two gods that Constantine chose, called Jesus and Christ today. If you want the facts on that, we have them available. It's free. We'll tell you, call us, write or email. But these followers of Yahshua, they tried to wipe them out. And by the time 1,500 years, they had taken the book of Yahweh now, remember that, taken it, search out the book of Yahweh and read. That's Isaiah 34, what was that last verse? Anybody? Oh, yeah, you got it. Hey, praise Yahweh. They didn't get it over here. Let's see, the martyrs of the saints, some historians say they kill trillions of people. And when I saw her, I wondered. This was Alexander's job. This was his completion of this kingdom, was to wipe out everyone who would not worship, not get under this woman sitting on the seven hills of Rome. And the Moloch said to me, let's see, that was verse 6, verse 7, and the Moloch said to me, this is speaking of us, by the way. The Moloch said, I'm right now fulfilling verse 1. Come and I will show you the sentence. That's not ever been shown. And there was a special time for it. The books were taken away. Nobody even knew about it. There might have been a rumor about it at one time or something, and that's how it kept spreading and spreading, by rumors. My parents, by rumors, yes, they were very interested in the Bible when they got their hands on it. But by rumors is how that was spread to their kinfolks, before the Bible was even printed. Think about that. Yahweh kept those rumors that Yahshua started with Nora. He kept them going to certain people down through the centuries. 1,500 years, the book of Yahweh was totally taken away from the people. What a marvelous thing. And now Yahweh says, in the last days, last generation, I will reestablish my house. And this seven bowl, the seventh lamp, says, come and I'll show you the sentence. We're the only ones that's showing the sentence right now of this great whore that sits on seven hills. We came down from heaven. This work right here that we're doing from heaven. Not bodily, was born on this earth. But from heaven comes down the laws that we're preaching right now. And the Moloch said to me, why are you astonished? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and the beast that carries her, which has seven heads and ten horns. And that's what I'm doing right now. The seventh bowl, the seventh light that goes out to the world, the light of the world. You are the light of the world right now. The beast that you saw was and is and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. Well, we see that it's trying right now to get out of the grave, and this is what the Pope is doing right now. And I can see from this that he's using the global warming and the threat that if you don't combine with us, you know, then we're going to have to force you. We're going to have to force you one way or another. Well, sanctions have already been set. That didn't turn anything. But now they will declare war, and this gives them an excuse to do so, to and go into perdition, and those who dwell upon the earth will wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the earth. Well, this is going to start them to wondering, because there's no salvation in the Catholic Church. Blessed are those who keep the laws of Yahweh. That's where. Revelation 22:14, the Savior doing the speaking. Blessed are those who keep the laws of Yahweh. There's no blessings for those who don't keep it. Satan is not going to bless you in any way. And anyone should be able to see now from the shape the world is in, is following the way of Satan exactly. As Adam and Eve and now also Cain. The book of life from the foundations of the world. When they see the beast that was and is and is not and yet is. Well, we see it because I've showed you the beast that represents the four horns on the altar of death, whose horns are going to be broken off this time in possibly just a few months from now, maybe even sooner. And here is the mind which has the wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sat. Look the world over. See if you can find a city that sits on seven hills who has authority now. As the scientists know, she has authority over the earth. And they realize that. Isn't that something that our scientists that are asking him to come and show them the way out of this mess they've caused are asking him to, asking the Pope to save them. Well, pretty soon they're going to start wondering, hey, I wonder if my name is actually in the wrong place here. Well, God is dead, so as this thing says, gods have never been alive, you know. They just accept in the minds of the people. And of course the gods, you can be like the gods, but they can't help you. There's nothing in the scriptures that shows that a god can help you. Nothing in the scriptures that shows the lords can help you. They're dead and know nothing. The live ones that follow them are a little more than that. They know nothing either. Nothing about the plan of Yahweh. That's the only thing that's going to be left after this mess is over. I've got a lot more to show you on this, but I think I've shown enough right now to show you what to look for. And this is going to be a beautiful thing, seeing this prophecy played out. It's not going to be shortened. It's going to be played out to where you're going to know and believe. If you're still alive, you're going to know and believe what sin brings. I know that many people are suffering from the sins right now. They're suffering in their body. That's sins reaching into your body. And, of course, as the Apostle Shaul said, when you do these certain sins, you know, it's a sin against your own body, and you're going to realize it the time you get up a few years of age. But now people are being born with it. Children are being born with it. And the shape of the children is horrifying to even look at the faces. And they're trying to get the people used to them. so they can use these faces to get people to give money to do research. I think maybe it's like this guy brought out about the cancer, and they're doing research. Only about 3% of the money is even used for that. And, well, you know, these people have to have a way to live, so they're taking the biggest part of it, stealing from the government that's paying them. It's a shame. Everything you see on the earth is a shame. Everything you see is evil like the gods. But the gods, you can follow them. They won't bless you. They can't bless you. There's no way they can. As Yahweh says, they have to be carried. They can't even move. So that's what the world is following right now, and that's the reason they're saying there is no God. Some of them are kind of waking up now to that. The only thing is to educate them in the way of Yahweh. And I was going to answer the question. I've answered it a million times, but why do we trust in the Scripture? Because of the prophecies. Not one of these shall fail. And not one of them have failed so far, right? May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you.